turn in John's gospel with me tonight and share some thoughts with you. John 21, John, the last chapter in the gospel according to John. John 21. Now, Jesus, he often invited people to come, didn't he? He said to those two disciples that of John the Baptizer that were following him, hey, when they asked him, where are you going or where are you staying? He said, come and see. Come and see. He said to people that were weary of the burden and yoke of the law, come unto me. He said to his disciples and others, come after me. Come follow me. But the invitation that I want you to focus on with me tonight is found in verse 12 of John chapter 21. This is a miraculous experience that these few disciples have with Jesus. They have a miraculous catch of fish. They bring the fish to the shoreline. And Jesus says to them, 21:12 of John, come and dine. Come and dine. That's what I want to think about with you tonight. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would just make this little phrase to just ring in our heart, and that you would bring your meaning to our hearts from it, and that we would come away from just these simple thoughts with something that would be a blessing to us and would help us throughout our days. And we thank you for these simple words and really what is inherent in them and what applies to us through them. And so we pray and ask all of this for Jesus' glory. Amen.
Amen.
I want to meditate on that invitation, that simple invitation from Jesus that he only gave one time. And I think about its meaning, and I think about how it might apply to you and me. Some of the meaning that we could draw from these words, come and dine, are obvious, but others that I will suggest are implied. But the whole incident recorded here in John 21 is rather fascinating to me when you stop to ponder it. And I think it explains some important things about Jesus and what he desires from his people, what he desires from you and me. And one of the first things that I want to pull from that phrase, come and dine, is that Jesus wants to reveal himself to you. Jesus wants to reveal himself to you. You know, as you sit here tonight or as you listen, Jesus wants you to know him. And the reason you're listening is because Jesus is drawing you and he has a desire to reveal himself to you. He wants you to know who he really is. He wants you to know, first of all, his humanity. This is Jesus of Nazareth that is speaking these words, and he's speaking them after he has died and has been raised from death, raised out of death. Here he is, the risen, living Messiah, and he still cares. He's still concerned for his disciples. He still cares, and he's concerned for you. And he can still relate to you, even though he's the resurrected Messiah. He still wants to be with you, and he still wants to show you who he is and why you need him. Come and dine. Jesus wants to reveal himself to you in his humanity, but he also wants to reveal himself to you in his divinity or in his deity. What we have happening here is that Jesus engineers a miraculous catch of fish. They have had a terrible night of fishing, and some of these men were very experienced fishermen. That's what they did for a living before they became followers of Jesus. And yet they had a night of zero catch. In the morning, they see this man on the shore. They don't know it's Jesus. They had heard that he had been resurrected. They didn't expect that that was him there on the shoreline. And he calls to them, and basically he says, "Boys, how has your fishing been? Have you caught anything?" And of course, they had to answer nothing. And so he simply says, you know, yards out from where they are, he's on the shore. He says, "Well, then just cast the net on the right side of the ship." And they do. And they catch such a great catch of fish that pulling it into their boat begins to sink. They have to get help. What's he doing? Jesus wants to reveal to you, as he did to them, his deity, his divinity. This miraculous catch of fish shows him to have authority over all creation. You know why? Because this Jesus is the creator. Anything and everything that was ever created, he created it. This is who he is. And with him in your life, all things are possible. Nothing Jesus will ever ask of you that he can't accomplish through you. And if you learn to let him lead and you depend upon him, you're going to find that his deity empowers your human life. So when Jesus says, "Come and dine," the first thing he wants to do, he wants to reveal himself to you as he did to them. Here's the second thing. When Jesus said, "Come and dine," he is saying that he wants to have fellowship with you. He wants to have fellowship with you because eating meals together was much more than just feeding your empty stomach. Eating meals together represented a couple of things. Number one, it represented togetherness. It was a significant marker in early Jewish life. It was an important part of social life and warm human relationships. It was at meals where families and friends would discuss what was on their heart, and they would share their deepest feelings. And so meals with Jesus, come and dine, represent time spent with him and feeding your soul and feeding on him to experience his fullness in your life. Jesus wants to have fellowship with you. Come and dine. He wants that togetherness between you and himself. And that fellowship with Jesus not only speaks of togetherness, but also it speaks of peacefulness. Because when enemies sat together at the meal table, it was to seal a peace treaty between them. And so to come to a place of understanding and agreement between even enemies, and to share mutual loyalty one toward the other, to establish peacefulness between perhaps people that previously were not at peace, were hostile to one another. When Jesus says, "Come and dine," he wants to have fellowship with you. He wants to enjoy that togetherness with you, and he wants to have you enjoy peacefulness in your heart and life. Share with you from that phrase. When Jesus says, "Come and dine," he wants to meet your needs. And Jesus can, and Jesus will, meet all of your human needs. I mean, what he did here, obviously, was to first of all meet their physical needs. They not only ate a meal together with him, but everything that they needed, he provided. Everything they ate, he had provided. He provided the catch of fish. He provided the cooked meal. He provided the warm fire, which, of course, they were wet. Some of them had actually jumped in the water, Peter being the main one, to pull that net to shore. And they were wet and cold, I'm sure, and he even provided the water. He was meeting their physical needs. But also, I believe he was meeting their mental and their emotional needs. Certainly Peter especially, but others in that group needed to have their thinking straightened out. These men were confused. These men were filled, their minds were filled with doubt, and their feelings needed to be changed, because I'm sure that they were feeling a lot of guilt and shame for denying the Lord, or for at least deserting him in that his worst hour. And so he's not only meeting their physical needs, he's meeting their mental and their emotional needs as well. He's taking the time necessary to reassure their hearts and to lay out his plans, to redirect them, to clarify, and to show them a future path forward. Come and dine. Jesus wants to meet your needs. He wants to show you the way. He wants to direct your steps. He wants not only to meet your physical needs, he wants to meet your mental and emotional needs. He can bind up the wounded heart. That's one of his specialties. But Jesus also met their spiritual need also. In ministering to their other needs, Jesus brought healing, and he met their spiritual needs by sharing spiritual truth with these men about himself, about his purpose, about his plan that included them. So he met their spiritual need. You have spiritual needs tonight. They vary, but you have spiritual needs. You may need a personal relationship with the Lord to begin with. Starting point. Or you may have a personal relationship with the Lord, but it might be distant. And cool, and you need it to be close and heated up and warmed up. He says, come and dine, and he'll meet that spiritual need as well. There's a fourth and final thing, and I don't think I've exhausted everything that this little phrase means, but it's something to meditate on anyway. I've already said that Jesus wants to reveal himself to you. He wants to have fellowship with you. He wants to meet your needs. And finally, I believe that this phrase, come and dine, reveals that Jesus wants to teach you truth. He wants to teach you truth. Truth about himself. Truth about yourself. Truth about following him and serving him. He wants to teach you truth about relationship. Look at what he does with Peter. When they have eaten their food, their needs have been met. He's dealing with Peter's spiritual needs in verse 15. Simon, son of John, you love me more than these? What's he doing? He's teaching them truth about relationship. He's saying, I want to be loved. I want to be loved by you. I want to be in a relationship that's a loving relationship. I want to be loved by you, and I want that love for me to be preeminent, because that's a prerequisite for anything else that you'll do for me or with me. There can be no real obedience to the Lord without a personal love for him. Everything in the Christian life and every area of Christian service has to be based in a loving relationship with the Lord Jesus. We follow because we love, and we can't do anything else because we love. We follow and we stay close because we love, and we please him because we love. Jesus wants to teach you that he set his love on you, and nothing can ever change that. And your choice to love him must be just as steadfast as his choice to love you. Jesus, when he says come and dine, he wants to teach you truth about relationship, but he also wants to teach you truth about partnership. You know, John 21 is one of the greatest fish stories, but it's a true one. There's another fish story similar to this in Luke chapter 5. It's when Jesus first called these men, Peter, James, and John, who were fishermen, to come and follow him and to be his disciples. And they had been fishing again and they hadn't caught anything. And so Jesus shows up and he says, cast the net. Go out in the deep, launch out in the deep and cast the net. And of course, these fishermen knew that you didn't fish the deep. You fished along the shoreline. But Peter said, okay, we fished all night along the shoreline as we're supposed to, and we didn't catch anything. But at your word, we'll do it. And they launched out in the deep, and they cast that net, and they drew in such a large catch of fish that their net began to break. And Peter is just, he's overwhelmed. And he falls down on his face at the feet of Jesus, and he says, depart from me. Lord, depart from me. I'm a sinful man. You know what Jesus said to him? He said, you know what? This catch of fish is just an illustration. Fear not, for from now on, you'll catch men. You'll catch men. You'll snatch men out of death and bring them into life. And so this catch of fish in John 21, I am positive, is an illustration of evangelism, of reaching people for Christ. And what he teaches, the truth that he's teaching when he says, come and dine, is that this is done through a partnership with me. You have to be led by me. You have to get direction from me. I'm going to tell you where to cast your net. I'm going to tell you how to do it. You're partnering with me. And if you'll follow my lead, if you'll listen, if you will be sensitive to my leading, my voice, this will be a great partnership. But what he's telling also in this partnership is that he wants to use us even despite our failures. These guys were big failures. They were big zeros. They'd struck out. They'd lost the series. What he's saying is, you have to love me explicitly, and you have to be right with me to be used. But even after failure, you can get right with me and I can use you. You just have to love me enough to be willing to follow me regardless of what the personal cost or sacrifice to yourself is, because you see it as a sacred high privilege in life to serve the Most High God of all. One of my favorite little booklets that I'm reading just recently again because I remembered it, and it's been such a blessing to me, is a book written by the guy that wrote probably a more famous book called The Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23. You familiar with that book? Philip Keller? He wrote a lot of books. And that's a good one. But my favorite one is just a little book called Lessons from a Sheepdog. You see, Philip Keller wrote that a shepherd looks at Psalm 23 because he was a shepherd. He had a sheep ranch in British Columbia, Canada. And so anyway, in this little book, he tells the story of a crazy border collie, which is the premier sheepdog that anyone could have. This crazy border collie that he picked up from a lady down in the town that didn't know what the dog was about, didn't know how to handle it, and how he took this abused animal, and in time he won the dog's trust and affection, and he turned it into one of the most valuable parts of his sheep ranch. He said when he first met this dog, it growled at him and bared its teeth, and he took it home, and he had a beautiful kennel that he made for this dog waiting for it. He had brand new bowls, one filled with food, another with fresh water. He put it at the kennel where the dog, and the dog didn't even want to go in the kennel. Finally, the dog went in the kennel and he wouldn't touch the food. Days went by. He wouldn't touch the food or the water. He said he didn't know what to do. He and his wife talked it over. So he said he went out there and he opened the door of the kennel and he let the dog loose. And when he let the dog loose, the dog just took off out through the field into the woods. And he said, I didn't see that dog. I would drive down around the area and ask other farmers if they had seen the dog. No one saw the dog. And he said, one day toward evening, I happened to look up on the top of the hill on a rock, and there was the dog. Dog's name was Lass, laying there on the top of the rock, just looking down at us, me and the flock. And he said, so I would every day see that same sight. So I started to bring water and food up to the rock, and I'd leave it there. I'd come back in the morning, it'd be empty. And he said, I did that for some time. And he said, often I would shoo a couple of the sheep up near the dog just to try to stir the latent sheep guiding ass instincts in that dog. And he said, one day I was just standing and I was looking out to his land, went right out to the ocean. He said, I was just standing there looking with my hands behind my back. He said, all of a sudden I felt a soft, warm, moist nose on my hand. And he said, I knew that something had happened. And so I turned and I stroked the dog all over, spoke kindly to it. And that began a deep relationship. And that began a training and a developing of this incredible animal relationship. And that animal was a major asset to that ranch. I love this story because it really is a tremendous picture of how the Lord Jesus wins our love for him. How he wins our love, how he woos us, how he draws us into a saving relationship with himself. It's one of the best stories of salvation and then sanctification illustrations I've ever read. And I highly recommend it. How God brings a hurting, stubborn, willful, angry person to choose of their own will to love him, to follow him, and to obey him, and to live only to please him. That's all inherent in that phrase, come and dine. That's what Jesus wants. He wants to reveal himself to you. He wants to have fellowship with you. He wants to meet your needs, and he wants to teach you truth. And if you miss this opportunity, you've missed the best that human life will ever experience.